Celebration. Surely, surely you've heard that word in the last day or so. And that word is a part of every one of our lessons during the month of November. Celebration. The last 2 days particularly, we've talked about celebration relative to what's gone on and what's going on at Fried Hardeman. Many people are here this morning. Others were here yesterday and Friday night, who came back to be here for the theme, Celebrate Me Home, and I finally found out from whence that came. Understand that's a song. Celebrate Me Home, celebration. We celebrated on Friday night when our girls' basketball team won. We celebrated yesterday when our men's basketball team won. And those of you that are Alabama fans especially celebrated when Alabama came back and won. We almost got a smile out of Gene Stallings on that one. Celebration. We're involved in celebrations of all kinds. But to mention a statement that we often hear, you ain't seen nothing yet. What a day of rejoicing that will be. That's what we were just singing. It's wonderful to have our friends come back. It's wonderful to go back. It's certainly a jubilant time to meet with our families and to celebrate. And there are many things in life that happen that help us to be able to celebrate. But there's never been a celebration yet that can begin to compare with what a celebration we will have when we get to heaven. What a celebration. I think I can honestly say to you this morning that I want to go to heaven more than anything else. I want to take as many with me as I can. I guess I'm somewhat like Paul, perhaps you are too, when he said that he was in a strait betwixt the two, realizing there were things that he needed to do and wanted to do on earth, and yet realizing that the best thing that could ever happen to him would be able to go to be with the Lord. What a celebration. I want you to fix four words in your mind this morning as we think about that great celebration in heaven, and all four of these begin with the letter P. Place, people, promises, and presence. Heaven is going to be a great celebration because of the place that it is, and yes, it is a place. If we do not believe that this Bible teaches that there is a prepared place called heaven, we have no right to believe anything else than it's in it. I get amazed sometimes at those who call themselves scholars who try to take the Bible apart piece by piece. There was an article published just this past week that one group has decided that they are not to accept the virgin birth and some of the specific actions of Jesus during his ministry, that these just cannot be accepted. Folks, if we cannot accept part of the Bible, how can we accept any of it? And when we accept all of it, we believe with all our hearts that there is a place called heaven. Let not your hearts be troubled. That's the opposite of celebration. You believe in God, believe also in me, and my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Listen, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John 14, 1 through 3. I go to prepare a place. And in the particular version that I hold in my hand, the word mansion is used in that passage. I had a fellow tell me a few days ago that that word shouldn't be used there, that really it ought to be translated room or rooms, and it is in some translations. But you know, even if you read that passage, in my Father's house are many rooms, a room in the Father's house makes it a mansion and makes it something about which you and I can celebrate. A room in the Father's house. Paul described this as he talked about the building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens in 2 Corinthians 5. There is a place There is a building of God not made with hands. Perhaps the most detailed discussion of the place called heaven is found in the last two chapters of the Bible, chapters 21 and 22 of Revelation. Brother Ray Nelson spoke on chapter 21 at the 5:45 Wednesday night service a few weeks ago and delved into some of the dimensions there in a way that caused all of us to think a bit. One of the things he pointed out is the fact that Revelation 21 says that heaven is 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles high, 12,000 cubits, or 12,000 furlongs. 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500 miles. Now I think, and I don't know whether you agree with me or not, I think that the literal descriptions in Revelation 21 and 22 are meant to help us to see the enormity of heaven and maybe not to be taken literally, but let's just think for a moment if we took that literally. 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles would be a parcel that would be about 8.4 times the size of Texas in square miles. And the part that's hard for me to really get into my thinking is the fact 1,500 miles high. If you allowed 10 levels in each mile, that would be 500 feet plus for each level. Just suppose that we did that. And then calculated 1,500 by 1,500 by 10 levels in each of the 100 miles high, we would have a square mileage in that that would be 33.75 billion square miles. That's an enormous place. As I said, I'm not for sure that that was intended to be taken literally, but to emphasize to us how enormous heaven is in being ready for all those who are prepared to live with God. And then think about the precious metals and stones that are used to describe it. Street of gold, pure gold. Walls of jasper. And some at least think that jasper is used here to describe what you and I might normally call a diamond. Gates of pearl. And one comment that I've heard on that is that the pearl is the stone that is made by overcoming difficulties. The oyster makes the stone in trying to overcome a difficult situation. Think about a street of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl. What a wonderful place. It even is suggested that the doors are not shut. Don't even need that kind of protection. What a wonderful place. What a celebration. But think about the people. The saints, those that die in the Lord, those that keep His commandments, taught in Psalms and in Revelation and other passages, these are the kind of people that are going to be there. Matthew 8 indicates that we'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The book of Revelation at least says we'll sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Can you imagine what it would be like to face a person like Abraham or Moses and to talk to them about what went on in their lives and to be with them for an eternity? The apostles, wouldn't you just like to listen to Peter speak and see the love of the Apostle John and to meet the great Apostle Paul and to think about what he did and what he meant to the church? Wouldn't you look forward to meeting some of those great ladies like Jochebed and Hannah and Dorcas and Eunice and Lois and Mary? I never had the privilege to meet N.B. Hardiman and A.G. Freed. I'm convinced that Brother Hardiman is one of the most powerful preachers of the gospel that ever lived, and that Brother A.G. Freed had one of the finest minds in holding to the Word of God that's ever been associated with the work in this area. One of these days, I hope to meet those two men face to face. I can't judge them, but I have every belief that they'll be in heaven. One of the finest men I ever met face to face was Brother H.A. Dixon. One of the greatest men that I ever met, that most of you, I suppose all of you that are here did not have the opportunity to meet except Judy, was Judy's dad. Preacher of the gospel that was killed in an automobile accident at age 50, I only knew him for about 25 months. To think about being able to spend time with people like this, I was named after my great-grandfather and my grandfather. My great-grandfather, whose name was Ben, lived only a few hours after he was baptized for the remission of sins. My grandfather, from whom I got my middle name, Sidney, lived almost 100 years and was one of the finest Christian men. I just look forward to the time that I can see people like that. You think about all the people that you've known that you believe have gone to heaven. What a celebration. And folks, there won't be any protesters and marchers outside protesting that celebration either. And there won't be anybody on the inside that disagrees with what's going on, because the sorcerers and idolaters and murderers and liars and so forth are going to be without. Revelation 22:15. In the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, Revelation 21:8. I want to go to heaven about as much for what won't be there as what will be there. What a celebration. The people. The place, the people, the promises. Eternal life. Promised even before the world began, we're told. At the end of the judgment scene in Matthew 25, the righteous go away into everlasting life. We have promises in this life, Mark 10:30, with blessings, and in the world to come, eternal life. I think we have something to celebrate here on earth when we think about the abundant life that we have in Christ, but think about eternal life. And Jesus said, there are treasures in heaven. Lay up your treasures in heaven. And he said to the rich young ruler, if you will sell what you have and help the poor and follow me, you'll have treasure in heaven. Do you sort of get the idea when that word treasure is used that Jesus is saying, we're going to have everything we need in heaven. Everything we need. We won't even have to think about retirement and putting anything in the bank or building up a fund for something later. We'll have all the treasures and everything that we need. And there will be no pain, no heartache, no disease. We won't have to be thinking about the possibility of finding a cure for some disease, because the disease won't be there. And we will not have to wonder if there is a pill or a shot that will ease the pain, for there is no pain. And we will not have to wonder about having something to wipe the tears from our eyes, because God shall wipe away the tears from their eyes. And that's one of the most unusual statements in the Bible. Most of the time, God sends somebody else to do something, but it says God shall wipe away tears from their eyes. What a celebration. Because the promises will be reality. The promises will be performed. And what God has told us here that we see through the eye of faith, we then will see face to face. What a celebration. And then think about the word presence. And I use that word to emphasize the presence of God and the presence of Christ and the Holy Spirit. You and I have never seen Christ except through the eye of faith. We've never seen God. In fact, God said to Moses, you can't look at me and live. He put him in the rock till he passed by, you remember. The glory and the greatness of God is such that man could not look upon him in this life and live. And yet we will be around the throne of that God for an eternity. Meet our Savior face to face. And with the 24 elders, as described in Revelation 4, be able to praise God in his presence for an eternity. And no matter how long we do that, have no less time left, because time doesn't mean anything in heaven. But be able to say, worthy art thou, as expressed in that passage there in Revelation 4. What a celebration. We've never seen anything like that. We've never known anything like that. We'll be able to celebrate in heaven because of such a wonderful place, wonderful people, the fulfillment of promises, and the presence of God for an eternity. What a celebration. But there's one sad note. Some folks won't get to celebrate. Some people won't get to attend that celebration. Because you see, in that same verse that lists all of those terrible sins in Revelation 21:8, the list starts with the fearful and unbelieving. Have you ever thought about that? Before he mentions any of these things you and I think of as the worst sins in life, the first two that are mentioned that won't be in the celebration in heaven are the fearful and the unbelieving. That means that if you do not believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and in His plan of salvation and obey that plan of salvation, that you don't have an opportunity to be with this great celebration. And that if you are fearful of serving God as a child of His and you will not own Him and live for Him, that you have no part in this celebration. Do you sort of see why we emphasize the invitation of Christ and why we try to get people to come to be baptized into Christ and let Christ live in them, and why we encourage one another to live for Christ and to stand up for Him and not be afraid to live for Him? It's all because we want to be a part of that great celebration in the place called heaven with the people of God enjoying the promises in the presence of the Almighty Father. What a celebration. If you were to leave this earth today and go to face your God, would you be ready for that celebration? If not, you need to come to Christ as together we stand and sing.